Welcome to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that is not just information, but impartation and activation. This podcast offers supernatural conversations that will encourage and equip you to live the Spirit-empowered life. Fireborn Ministries exists to see Jesus awaken this generation to the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen in to this powerful and encouraging conversation and share this episode of Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky. And welcome to another adventure in the Holy Spirit. This is season 5. We're going strong for the glory of Jesus on the Charisma Podcast Network. We've been hearing all kinds of testimonies of what the wonderful, incredible Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Those of you who view or listen into this, I want to encourage you, subscribe and share this podcast episode. Share it with your friends and family. If you are not subscribed, but you're jumping in now, you know, feel free, check in, check out, you know, be blessed, download whichever episodes you want. We've got over 270-some episodes or so of this podcast, had some great guests over the years, and we're going to have some more guests, such as what we're having today. I want to encourage you, I've got a free PDF available for you, Steps to Your Freedom. If you're being oppressed, you've got tormenting thoughts or anything like that, in the name of Jesus, we break those off for His glory so that you could walk in freedom, so you could download that free resource, Steps to Your Freedom. You can hear God's voice and prophesy. Every person with the Spirit of God living in them can be used by God for entry-level prophecy. Entry-level prophecy is the starting point of an incredible adventure in hearing God's voice and prophesying. Prophecy encourages, comforts, and edifies people. And our heart is to equip and educate you to hear God and prophesy, walking it out as a lifestyle. And that's why we created Entry-Level Prophecy eCourse on charismacourses.com. Through this powerful eCourse, you will be equipped to hear God and to prophesy. You will gain the necessary biblical understanding needed to take a step of faith and speak what you hear God saying to see people encouraged, comforted, and edified. In this course, you'll learn about the fruit of the Spirit, the character traits of God, how to receive and deliver a prophecy, how to judge a prophecy, and what foundation you need to prophesy, and what heart motivations are necessary to prophesy. When you enroll in this e-course, you'll also have access to bonus materials and our live coaching sessions. Go to charismacourses.com to purchase entry-level prophecy and learn how to hear God's voice and prophesy. But guys, I'm excited for today's special guest. I have Ed Welch, who's been in counseling for many years. He's got a Master of Divinity. He's got a PhD. He's a licensed psychologist and a faculty member at Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. He's been counseling for over 40 years, and he's had written extensively on topics of depression, fear, and addictions. And today we get a offer you guys a resource that is out now called the Life Counsel Bible, which he was part of the team. So please help me welcome Ed Welch to Adventures in the Spirit. Welcome, Ed.
Well, thanks, Jared. Very good to be with you.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure, brother. So you've got a Master of Divinity, and so do I. I don't have a PhD, maybe in time, maybe not, whatever the Holy Spirit has. But for my audience, can you share some of your story, how you came to Jesus and got into biblical counseling?
Oh, it's kind of you to ask. I enjoy thinking about it. I haven't thought about it recently. I grew up in a Christian home, parents who loved Jesus and loved me, which was a rare gift. I think I was aware of that even then. But if as I would describe the status of my own heart, I would say that I knew the Bible. As a child and as a teenager would know the Bible, I knew the stories of Scripture, and I believed that they were true, but I did not follow Jesus. The distinction between knowing the Bible was true and not following Jesus was very clear in my own mind. There are other things that I wanted to follow, which I chose to follow them. It wasn't until the last year at university, the Spirit tends to sort of bring all kinds of different things into our lives that grab our attention. So there were a number of different things that had come together. And to make the long story short, I had a Bible laying around because my mother would put a Bible in my luggage. Whenever I'd go to university, she'd always put a Bible in there, which I knew was an act of love. I just wasn't interested in it. But my last year in college, I realized it was an act of love, but I had a little bit of time And I began reading it. And Jared, I can't tell you what it was exactly that I was reading. I suspect it was Romans in some of the early epistles. But what became clear in my own heart was I knew that I was doing things that weren't wise. I knew that. But in reading scripture, I became persuaded that against you and you only have I sinned.
Yeah.
That became very clear from scripture. And it was toward the end of my university days. I'd already applied for graduate work and some other things. But at that moment, I realized the Spirit working through the Word, this is very, very powerful. And I would like to study the Word more because mm-hmm. it had such an effect in my own life. And so as a result, I went to seminary and it felt like an utterly selfish indulgence to spend 3 years in seminary studying the Bible. It was just a great pleasure. That's what eventually moved me into the things I'm doing right now. I'll just say a little bit more. Feel free to interrupt me at any time. So I went through seminary. A lot of my peers were moving into pastoral ministry. I think I felt a bit young for that, in part because even though I knew scripture well, I felt like I was fairly young in walking with Jesus. So I ended up going to graduate school for psychology, which is where I got a PhD. And you can see I had interests in who are people and how do people change and how do we understand people, how can people be helped. So I had those interests for a long period of time. Went to graduate work for those, and then the day after I finished my graduate school career, turned in my dissertation, and I started working where I'm working presently, right in suburban Philadelphia. And my question, I guess I could call myself a biblical counselor. That might be one way to identify myself. But really, my only question for over 40 years has been this: how does the Word of Christ speak to the details of daily life? How does the Spirit apply the Word to those details? So that's been my question, and I feel like I have an utterly envious job. I would think most Christians would love to have that kind of question. Is not just their avocation; it is my avocation, but it's also my vocation.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I love that. I mean, I believe in biblical counseling. I've been trained in nouthetic biblical counseling, but for our listeners who may not know what biblical counseling is, can you define it for them and share what to experience or what to expect if they're being counseled with a counselor and the Bible?
Yeah, that's a good question. You would think if I do it, I would be able to define it. When I think of biblical counseling, I think about it with a little B and a little C. So it's not a brand. It's an area of investigation, and I think I would equate it more with a Wikipedia article where come one, come all. The scripture invites us all into it. And let's get into scripture and be taught how does scripture speak to the issues of life. So I think of biblical counseling is sort of an avocation for all Christians. It's not associated with any particular person or any particular organization. It's how does scripture and the word of Christ to speak to us meaningfully today? That's really the question. I guess, what do I hope you would find if you would speak to somebody who would identify themselves as a biblical counselor? I hope you would find these things. Everything you do should sound really good. Everything you do should sound really good. It's called the gospel, and it's the work of Christ in us. And even if it's conviction of sin, it should sound really good. Because conviction of sin, what is it? It's the Spirit graciously standing in the way of us in death and pointing us to the way of life. So if it's truly grounded in Scripture, the care of souls should sound beautiful. It should sound attractive. It should lead us into loving Jesus even more. So that's one way biblical counseling should be communicated. I think another way, and I've certainly found this in my own life, is that I simply pray more than I used to. I, mm-hmm. as a counselor and as a psychologist, I I'd say, you know, 48 times out of 50, I'm praying with somebody. And I'll use it as a kind of summary. Lord, this is what we've done. This is what we need. Jesus, have mercy on us and grow us in these things. What I find more and more now is life has complicated problems. And yeah. It's not unusual for somebody to be talking about something that is utterly overwhelming or inscrutable. How do we even begin to understand this? And I find more and more, let's pray. Let's pray. These yeah. are things that are beyond us, but we know where to turn. Lord, be gracious to us. Fill us with your Spirit again for this particular task that's in front of us. So it should sound really good. And we're praying a lot. That's, you know, those would be, I think, the pillars of what biblical counseling should look like.
Yeah. For biblical counseling, you know, people in our day and age, they have an identity crisis. And when we counsel them and show them what the scripture says as to who they are and whose they are, it becomes real to them. I mean, it's real easy in our day and age, hustle and bustle, to just read the Bible and kind of miss out on applying it or having it address certain situations for the day. It could become just like a devotional thing. And there's nothing wrong with it being devotional, but people have real issues. As you'd said, there are real issues in our day and age with marriage, with family, with depression, you know, and I believe in supernatural healing, but I also believe in counseling. I've gone through biblical counseling when I was fighting post-traumatic stress disorder from my time in combat in the Marine Corps. You know, there were stages, you know, I would be healed in one thing and, you know, other things through biblical counseling, through biblical meditation, get a revelation of Christ's character, his nature, his will, his ways through the Word of God. But then, you know, there were supernatural healings along the way from traumatic brain injury, migraines and headaches. But then there are other things that needed to be a revelation for the moment. So I know that there's so much to biblical counseling.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate this broad swath of the Spirit's creativity that you're identifying. As a person who's met with many people over a number of years, what do I find? I find that there are times where the Spirit grants an insight. And in that insight, everything changes. It's like things just moved from death to life, from darkness into light. So I've seen those more immediate evidences of the power of Christ in people. And as a friend, as a person who is those who care for the souls of our friends and our family, we anticipate those things, that the Spirit will do that. But we also recognize that in the New Testament, the call is so often to a kind of steadfast endurance, to walking in the Spirit in the midst of difficulties that are not going to be removed. So the Spirit has all kinds of different ways, and as we care for the souls of other people, we have opportunities to see that. So I've seen the Spirit work fast and the Spirit work sort of at a walking pace, gradually over time. I've also seen things where the Spirit chose us for people to go through really difficult things. And the power is that he strengthened them to be able to turn to Christ and to love other people even in the midst of it.
Amen. Well, you mentioned that sometimes these things are really fast and sometimes it takes time. I know that you got to be anonymous, but can you share a testimony of maybe one testimony of someone being healed really fast and then maybe another testimony of someone walking through something, knowing we're not dropping names or anything, but just a testimony of how you saw God bring them freedom?
I'm just thinking about a bunch of different faces. One I think about currently is a person, a woman who had struggled with suicidal depression for the vast majority of her life. And there were very difficult things that I think contributed to it. And when you would listen to her talk, she essentially was saying that she was never going to be enough. She could never quite make herself right. She could never, she'd been disgraced by the disgraceful acts of other people. And she was always trying to show that she's trying hard, but never felt like she could please the Lord. And so as a result, she would make suicidal gestures as a way to say, Lord, this is how sorry I am for who I am and things that I've done, and things that I haven't been able to do. I think the turning point there was simply saying, you know, you've repented of many, many things in your life. But there's one thing you haven't repented of, and it's the very idea that you can somehow by your own work, by your own sorrow for sins, you can meet God halfway, where I'm really sorry, I'm going to try really, really hard. You work hard, so you do your part and God does his part. Perhaps what you need to repent of is the fact that when we come to Christ, we come to the door, and if we're bringing things and say, Jesus, see how much I'm trying, see how sorry I've been for sins, the admission is we drop those things at the door, and we hear that Jesus has paid it all. Yeah. And so I simply encouraged her to pray that she to be able to repent of her works, thinking that somehow her works were going to be able to make her acceptable before Jesus rather than his grace. She prayed, and it was the last time she'd struggled with depression. After 20 years of depression, it was the very last time, which was what? The Spirit illuminating her with things that the Apostle Paul talks about in Galatians. We tend to live under the law. We would prefer, tell me you who want to live under the law. We do it in all kinds of different ways, and sometimes depression can be a way to do that. So that's one where I saw the Spirit intrude gratefully, and it's been a number of years since that's happened, and we still give thanks for the Spirit in a moment to sort of open her eyes to how life in the kingdom is very, very different. That was a quick one. A man who, I'll use depression again, a man who has labored under depression for most of his life, and he doesn't know why, and I don't know why. We can find reasons for it, but a lot of times those reasons don't add up to the experience of depression. I think some people can just be prone to it. And he was persuaded that his call was not necessarily for it to be alleviated, but for him to... Here's his thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh wasn't going to be gone. How could he find strength in Christ in the midst of weakness? And that has been his prayer. That has been the way he's asked his church to pray for him. And now the way he prays is, could you pray for me that I would be able to get out of bed in order to have my mission being to love one, be able to love one particular person? And that's what he does. He gets out of bed, not because he feels like it. If he did whatever he felt like, he would just stay in bed for the rest of the day.
Right.
But he gets out of bed and he prays, Spirit, give me one person to love, one person to love. And he still labors under depression that has been just as severe as it was a year ago, as it was 5 years ago and 10 years ago. But as I know him, I often will say, you are a mentor to me. You are one of my spiritual heroes, because you are living out what the Apostle Paul said, you are demonstrating the strength of Christ in the midst of your own weakness. So two very different situations with very different courses, but both bring glory to Christ in the way the Spirit was honored in their lives and continues to be honored.
Yeah, man, I love that. You know, I love this, the scripture. I love the word of God. I love Jesus. And I want people to know the Bible, it has everything that you need in it. It addresses everything. So go to the scripture, memorize it. If you need counseling, go see a biblical counseling like Ed. But Ed, you've got this project that you're a part of, the Life Counsel Bible. I'd love to hear kind of the process behind it. You're a collaborator on that. And can you share with people what the Life Counsel Bible is?
Life Council Bible is, it's the Holman Christian Standard Version of the scripture, which is, I think, a very accessible one. So it's, yeah, it's one that my family, we've used this with our grandchildren because it just makes sense to them more than some of the other versions. So it's an accessible version. What it is there are over 150 articles, short articles that are inserted at just the right place that basically are answering the question, what does this look like now? For example, I was reading in Romans chapter 1, and of course, you're wrestling with homosexual desire in Romans chapter 1, and there was an article there that brought me into an understanding of what the Lord says about homosexuality in such a way that I felt like I understood Scripture, but I was also able to care for friends I know who wrestle with homosexuality. They wrestle well, and I was able to enter into their lives with a certain amount of compassion. So you see what I'm saying? It's just one particular short article, but Paul's raising the issue of homosexuality and same-sex attraction, and here's an article that shows up to just expand on that just a bit. So you'll find 150 of them, and really, it's that word counsel. Word counsel is not necessarily a professional word the way we use it. It's how does scripture sneak into life today?
I like that.
So on one hand, it's there's an article on when your children are disrespectful. That's one side.
I need that one.
Excuse me?
I said, I need that one. I need that article.
Oh, I've gone through that one as well. So my grandchildren who are disrespectful. So that one has been a fresh one. That one is dog-eared for me. On the other hand, it's the scripture speaks about parenting. We know something about parenting. But on the other hand, there's an article in there even on bipolar disorder, wow, which is something you don't find in scripture. You go into a concordance and scripture doesn't say, Here's what bipolar is, and here's how you're supposed to deal with bipolar. But what we believe is the Lord doesn't promise through the Spirit to remove all the difficulties of life, but how do we grow in Christ in the midst of those difficulties? So there's a section on bipolar that tries to bring Scripture to bear on something we weren't anticipating Scripture would speak to. 150 articles that move throughout the Scripture. The nice thing about it is, as you pointed out, Jared, I'm not the author of all of them. If I was, I don't think I would recommend it, because it's really nice to have the body of Christ contribute to these projects. And there were dozens and dozens of other men and women who wrote really fine articles in here. I think I'm responsible maybe for seven of them or so.
Well, I love that. I want to encourage people, get a copy of the Life Council Bible. And I appreciate you talking about Romans chapter 1. I was recently doing some revival services in Dayton, Ohio. And on the tail end, people are coming up for prayer. And I had this couple come up to me, both females, saying, we're struggling with this. We know what we're doing is wrong. And they said that this is the first time they've attended this church. But this church is loving. It's a friend of mine is pastoring it. And in the moment, I was like, just listen to the Holy Spirit. This couple is coming to me. They've had previous, one was a mom. But they're like, how do we come to church and let them kind of know what we're struggling with? We know it's wrong, but have the Holy Spirit work in our life. And I just was praying with them. I just prayed over them, prophesied over them, and the Holy Spirit was moving in them. And for me, I know that the Word of God is truth. I'm not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is convicting them. And I know it is a touchy topic.
I'm really interested in where you're going to go with this. I'm right with you. Keep going.
Well, some people would beat them up, be like, here's the scripture here, boom, boom, boom. But in that moment, I just felt like Holy Spirit in me and Holy Spirit in them would start drawing them for the truth. So I was just praying for them to have the revelation of the Word of God, have a revelation as to where He wants to take them, but also to encounter Him. I mean, there are some prophetic words that flowed through that as well, but they left encouraged in joyful tears, if you will. But I knew I'm not going to beat them over the head. you know, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'll let the Holy Spirit do his work. They already told me what they know is what they're doing is wrong. It's a process. It's process of time. I know in the moment, if I would have said, you have to separate now, you have to, my gosh, I'd do more damage in that process. But I invited them to the evening service that night as well. But anyway, that's pretty touchy talk.
That's a great illustration, because sometimes we think the way we care for people in those situations is we instruct them. Here's what God says, and that's the end of the story, which makes our care for people pretty efficient. We tell them what's wrong, and then we move on to the next person. But what you're identifying is how do we grow in pastoral wisdom? What is it that the Lord wants for these people now? And there are two things that you said that I so appreciate. Here are people who are coming to you, and they're asking you. They're asking for your wisdom. And so First thing I'm thinking, the Spirit is doing things in your heart because you want to hear, you are seeking the truth. And let me pray for you that the Spirit who is doing that kind of work in you would keep you on that same path. So that's really the first thing you're doing. The second is that here is the zenith of Scripture. The zenith of Scripture is the person of Jesus. Let me pray that you would know and love the one that we worship. Because obedience and love are really the same thing. They come from the same place. So let me pray for you that you would know that Jesus. And then out of your knowledge of him, the Lord would give you power to do things that you believe are good and right and true. I appreciate what you're saying. It's the easy part is to know what's wrong. The more challenging part is what does love look like this person now? And maybe put it even another way. Every single story, Jared, you asking me about my own story a bit. Every single story is characterized by something really very surprising. We were sort of walking through our normal life, and all of a sudden a miracle happened. And I was not expecting it. I had no idea it was going to happen. And all of a sudden the lights go on, and we see something of Jesus, and our life is turned and changed, which is another way of saying that what we anticipate in the way we care for the souls of other people, it should be surprising. It should be, wow, I didn't expect you to say that, because that's the kind of thing the Spirit does.
Amen. I love it. This has been a great conversation, Ed. I would love for you to pray for people who may be going through depression, who may be going through marital issues, whatever it is the Holy Spirit leads you to pray during this time.
Thank you so much, Jared. Let me pray. Father, so many things in my heart as a result of us talking. One is that the Bible is so rich and speaks to our heart, and it reveals matters that people were waiting for millennia. Yet at the same time, it's not easy. It doesn't come to us in prescriptions. It doesn't come to us with topics. We look up a topic and we have the answers. It is hard for us to wrestle with Scripture, Father. So we acknowledge that. But we know that you have the answers for our soul. Whatever the answers are from you, you have them. You have what we need. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters who are listening, that they would be turning to you in new ways. They would simply share from their hearts. Here's where they feel stuck. They would find words from the psalmist. Here's where I feel like Jesus, I know you, I love you, but I feel like I'm going to die, and sometimes it feels like you're not listening. Would you grant them increasingly open and honest words before you? And I pray that you would hear them, and you would grant them in your gentle way words of love and comfort, comfort that somehow unbalances the pain in their lives, and gives them hope. Father, thank you for how we don't always know the answers, but we do know where to turn. And we also know that the Spirit tends to use many people. And so we can turn to other people and say, help. Father, would you be pleased to help us today to know you, to live before you with growing joy. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen. So, Ed, how can people get a hold of a copy of the Life Council Bible?
That's the hardest question you've asked. Jared, I have to confess that I got mine free. So I didn't have to buy it online, but I buy everything else through Amazon for the most part. And I'd imagine that's the easiest way to get it. I suspect the Christian Standard Bible has a website, which I've never actually gone on, but I suspect they can get it through there too.
Well, I have an Amazon affiliate link for people if they want to purchase the Life Council Bible. It's in the podcast description. I know that they could click on that on Apple and Spotify and some other places. Other podcast platforms, they can't click on that, but it's also, I'll be sending it out on my email list. But what is the best way for people to get a hold of you for more information?
The group I work with is called the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. And so a lot of the material that I write will show up on that particular website. And I think my email shows up there. So it's just ccef.org. That's where I tend to live.
Awesome. I was on that website earlier, guys. I do my homework. So I want people to go to that ccef.org website, connect with Ed. But also, if you're going through something, seek help, as Ed was saying, and seek a biblical counselor, and may the word of God come to life for you. Ed, thank you so very much for being my special guest on Adventures in the Spirit.
Pleasure, Jared. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that activates you to live the supernatural life. Subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Leave a 5-star rate and review, which helps us reach more people with the love and power of the Holy Spirit, and partner with us at firebornministries.com. And may you live your best spirit-empowered life and have your own adventures in the Holy Spirit.